In our ongoing series on expat community life in Belgium, the Bulletin talks to the Royal Brussels Cricket Club, which is based in Laan. Welcome to Club Chairman Chris Hutchins and Kim Revel, who has just coordinated a recently published yearbook on the club. Now, the RBCC has a long history that we know. Now, Kim, can you tell me a little bit about the history?
Well, we start with the history of cricket in Belgium, really. And we believe that the Duke of Wellington's guards first played a match just before the Battle of Waterloo in 1815. So there is something recorded that they did play a match. And we believe that it happened 30 miles outside of Brussels. And they, sorry, can you pause that?
I've already
fluffed my lines.
No, don't worry. Just restart whenever you want.
I don't know. I mean, the pronunciation of the town is I think it's
Hougoumont?
No, it's Enghien. So that's why I was...
Yeah, I was no, don't worry. Just leave it out then. Just leave it out. I was just saying the Waterloo area or something.
Yeah, sorry, I've already...
No worries. Do you want to start from the beginning or...?
Yeah, no, I'll start from the beginning again, if that's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. So the RBCC has a long history, which dates back even apparently to the Battle of Waterloo. Can you tell me a little bit about it, Kim?
Yes, well, our club was established in 1866, but we believe that cricket was played in Belgium as far back as 1815, just days before the Battle of Waterloo. And we believe that it was played just outside Brussels. So that's when the story began, actually, with the Duke of Wellington's foot soldiers.
And it's and after that, for a while, wasn't cricket played in Brussels itself, in Bois de la Cambre, before moving the club to Laan?
Yes, we said it's had an itinerant background because the RBCC itself played in all over Brussels, at La Razance, Bois de la Cambre, Woluwe Saint-Pierre, the British School of Brussels, all over really, before we then settled at Laan 40 years ago, actually. And it's our 40th anniversary this year.
Sounds good. And how did the two of you become involved in the club? Chris, first of all, how long have you been involved?
So I've been a member at the RBCC since 1997. I was one of the many youngsters who come to Brussels to do a stage in the European Commission. And I did a winter stage, and the following summer I thought it would be great to play some cricket, and I discovered this club out in Ohan, who were extremely welcoming to me. And I'm still indebted to many of them who gave me lifts out to the ground, because I was without a car and without a clue as to where the ground was. My involvement and my relationship with the club dates back almost 25 years.
Yes, and it's true that the club is sort of, you know, it's set in beautiful countryside, but it's not always easy to find. But it, well worth the trip when you make it out there. And Kim, how have you become involved?
Well, my son Max, about 6 years ago, he started playing for the club. But we knew about the club already because we had a friend who was chairman before Chris, Nick Compton. So we knew we'd been visiting as spectators. But Max is very much involved with the club, enjoys it, cricket's his life, the club's his second home. So it's all been good for us as family.
And how many members and teams do you have at the moment? I know there's obviously men's and women's teams. There's the youth teams as well. Can you tell me a little bit about the setup and the membership?
Well, we're enjoying something of a COVID benefit, if you will, with so many families and players and members, you know, unable to travel the last couple of summers. We've had much a growing interest in the club, and people really wanting to get out into the countryside and to get exercise. So at the moment, the club is in very good health in terms of members. We've got approximately, you know, 40 to 50 male playing members from the Colts. We have across the four age groups, under 11, 13, 15s and 17s, we've got probably more than 30. And then from the women's section, we've got approximately 20 members. So the club is in good health right now. And we were very proud a couple of weeks ago to have actually fielded over 100 players over a weekend's cricket across all the different sections. And that's the most we've ever been able to field. So long may that continue.
And did you, you know, how did you manage over the pandemic? I mean, obviously you had the advantage being an outdoor sport, but I presume there was some interruption to your activities.
Yes, that's right. We obviously had to observe all the Belgian federal and regional rules. Our cricket season in 2020 was truncated. We didn't start until mid-June, in line with the federal rules. And also the league cricket fixtures were adapted as a result of COVID in 2020. So the longer form game of 50 overs was abandoned. In order for all the games to get in, we had to play T20 games, so 20 over games. A similar story in 2021, we had a delayed start to the season. So we started, I think, if I recall correctly, mid-May. But we worked very hard to observe, you know, all the protocols when we play. And at the moment, our teams are not using the clubhouse indoors. We try to limit the number of people inside. So we've worked hard to make it work for the club and make it work for its members.
And you mentioned sort of leagues and matches. I mean, is there a Belgian league? I mean, what kind of leagues and competitions do you compete in? And what about international matches? Those manage to continue?
Yes, yeah, so the league structure in Belgium was set up in the mid-1990s. It was actually set up by a former RBCC chairman, Ted Voorzanger. And it's developed over time from, you know, just one league of eight teams to around, you know, 30 teams today, divided over five leagues. So cricket is played all over the country, and that's very encouraging. So there's a regular, you know, series of competitive fixtures for men, women and for Colts. And together with the BCF, the Belgian Cricket Federation, RBCC's the oldest member of that cricketing federation. And we're looking to continue to support the game in all its facets. I think it's fair to say that cricket is changing. The shorter format game is much more popular now. So games of 20 overs rather than the full 50 overs in league cricket. But we believe in playing both formats and are happy to support the national team where we can.
And, you know, we don't think of Belgium as being a traditional cricket-playing country. But is that changing? Are there Belgians involved in the club? And you know, do you find that you know, more and more people are becoming aware of the game as well?
Yeah, we've noticed sort of a shifting interest in the game. I mean, I remember when I was first at the club in the 1990s, when cricket was still televised live on BBC, and BBC is carried obviously here on cable television right across Belgium. There was a strong interest in the game from Belgians who were curious, not Belgian youth, not naturalized Belgians, but, you know, Belgian men and women. That tailed off a little bit as cricket went behind the paywall and didn't feature on BBC. But with the advent of The 100, which is being televised on BBC, we're hopeful that more Belgians will become interested in the game. We work hard to make the game aware in the eyes of the commune where we reside. So the Laan commune are actively interested in the game, and we do our level best to promote it amongst the community where we exist. But I think it's fair to say that still today it's largely an expatriate game and a game for naturalized Belgians.
Kim, you mentioned how you became involved because of your son. Are there lots of families involved? You know, do you take part in activities at the clubhouse? Is there a social side of the club as well?
Very much so. It's become quite an extended family, really. Lots of families are keen to be involved. And we sort of take turns to, you know, somebody might pick up a vacuum cleaner and, you know, pick up all the grass that's in the clubhouse, or somebody might man the bar, or somebody might take it upon themselves to do the washing up. Somebody might score, do the scoring, that is. But we're all involved and we all enjoy watching our children play. So there is a family atmosphere at the club now, more and more so.
Yeah, that's good. I know the club is also very international. You know, any idea, or can you give me some idea of the nationalities that are represented at the club?
But personally, I mean, Chris will tell me the wider teams. For me, for the Colts team, the younger teams, there are people from all over the world. You know, we said in the booklet that people have come from as far afield as Canada, right to Fiji, going east. Lots of people from all over the world come to the club. So that's a great thing for cultural, you know.
I'd agree. We have a really international set of people. You've got your sort of traditional cricket playing countries, you know, Pakistan, India, UK, Australia, South Africa. You know, we have members from all of those countries. But we, you know, we've had players, and we have players from further afield, like Canada, Fiji, Sri Lanka, and every so often we get some really good ex-professional players playing with us as well, and that always improves the standards. And yeah, it doesn't happen often, but when it does, it gives a real boost to the club, and I think gives an extra interest in people wanting to get involved.
And I know you do a lot of outreach work as well, including with refugees. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. So we've worked quite extensively with the Afghani refugee community over the last 4 to 5 years. Afghanistan is a cricket passionate nation, and there's lots of young Afghanis seeking asylum currently in Brussels, who are residing in integration centres, some of which are close to the club, and we've developed a relationship with them. I think to some extent that's down to the, you know, the hard work of the asylum centre managers and some of the legal guardians of asylum seekers who have moved towards naturalization. They've sought out sports that these young men would like to play, and now we have a fair number of them in the youth teams, And we also have three or four of them who've graduated into the men's teams and are playing regularly competitive cricket. So I think we've played our part there.
And are you always on the lookout for new players?
I'd like to think so, yes. We really are. I mean, cricket in Belgium and sports in general in Belgium, especially when they're expatriate-centric, there's always something of a transient nature to the club. So in order to keep it healthy, keep it vibrant, we're always looking for new members. We try to be as welcoming and as open as we can so that people can join us. People without transport, people who haven't played the game before, people from different nationalities, ethnic backgrounds or gender, we're open to all. And the club ethos is really for as many people as possible to, you know, to experience cricket and experience the lovely location that we have. It's truly a beautiful spot in the Belgian countryside, and we're lucky to have it and to be custodians of it. So we're very keen to take in new members.
And this summer, I know the club published a booklet. Kim, I know you were involved in that. Can you tell me about it?
Well, it was sort of an original idea by our youth development officer, Dave Harrington. And he said, "Do you know any publishers to me?" And it kind of grew from there, really. We decided to bring out a booklet primarily for the Colts, for the younger members of the club, and just for them to log their statistics this summer. But I thought, well, we should tell them a bit about the club. They might not know anything about it. And so we decided to put some history together, and then we wanted to tell them that about the teams, about the other teams, the senior team, the second team, the social team, and the women's team, just to educate them a bit, for them to know, you know, that they belong to a great club, really. So we put this booklet together, and Chris will just attest to this, but we're thinking about putting a end of year booklet out as well, just to sort of review the summer's games. So that's what we intend to do, and hopefully we're going to do one every year, with Chris's say so, of course. I'm very pleased to be involved in that.
And I think it shows the spirit of the club. This is an initiative that Kim and Dave, the youth development director, started off. And it's really brought a sense of community to the club and a sense of history that was always there but wasn't recorded in writing. And, you know, when it's been handed out to the juniors so far, you can see them, you know, really enjoying the content, really enjoying the history of the club, and having something to record their personal performances in, and something to aspire to as well. The club records are in there. There's forwards there from the various different captains, and there's an excellent sort of potted history of the club. And it's been such a success that there's certainly demand to repeat it on a regular basis. And I think an end of season sort of roundup would be one excellent way to do that. So thank you, Kim.
Now, I presume anybody who wants to learn more about the club, they can find out more on your website. And I presume anybody, they can turn up. You mainly at the weekends that you're active, or the other times or other evenings when people can pop along to the club if they want?
Yeah, so we have club trainings for the women's section is Wednesday evening. For the men's, it's Thursday. We offer social cricket in the short format on Tuesday and Friday evenings. That runs from sort of May until mid-August when the light allows. And then we have the league cricket over the weekends and also the international sort of touring teams hosted at the weekend as well. It's our belief to, you know, to have a really good mix of social and competitive cricket. And of course, the juniors train on Sunday mornings, and they have a regular set of games on the mornings right across the summer, either Sunday or Saturday morning. And I think one other sort of really important initiative that the junior section has taken is to organise a series of summer stages for kids to develop their cricket. And that's been a real success. But I think Kim can give you some more thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, we started it during COVID, of course, because the youngsters were just going nowhere last year. And Mark Wynall was an integral part of that. And he's organised the stages for the youngsters. And we've already had 2 weeks this summer. But for anybody who wants to be involved, there is one at the end of August, the last week of August. But we intend to repeat those stages next Easter, possibly, and certainly next summer. Well, and they've been a great success, The kids have loved them.
Well, you know, do keep us updated on all your activities. And of course, we wish you all the best for the summer season and the rest of the year. And I'd just like to say thank you very much, Chris and Kim, for talking to the Bulletin. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you want, I can say something about BBCA.
You can. I haven't recorded yet.
I haven't done that.
Hello.
And then I was going to say something about the international tournament this weekend.
Yes. Okay. The problem is with the tournament this weekend, I won't be able to, I haven't got time this afternoon to get this online. So it won't go out until next week, unfortunately.
Okay.
Oh, that's all right, Sarah, because I was thinking when I was talking about the last week of August, I was thinking.
Yeah, don't worry. I can cut that. It doesn't matter. I mean, I can adapt it for the website. I'll reintroduce then the last bit of the question. I just ask if there's anything else you'd like to ask about Hub activities. Okay. And then you can, either of you can put in something. But yeah, unfortunately, we can't mention this weekend. Annoying.
Okay.
So is there anything else, Chris and Kim, that you'd like to mention about the Hub activities?
Well, Chris, anything that I didn't mention that I should have done?
I don't think so. There is something that I think it's important to emphasise, that we try to reach out and play our part in the international community. Yes, we host games between embassies. We've had games between the British and the Australian embassy. We've had games in the recent past between embassy officials from Pakistan in the presence of the Pakistani ambassador. And we also have good links into the Brussels British Community Association, and we've hosted their summer party for the last 3 years, with the exception of 2020. And we also try to play our part in the development of the international game. And in late July, we're hosting an international tournament between Belgium men's and Austrian men's. So this will be in the presence of the Wallonian Minister of Sport and of the mayor of our local commune in Laon. So but this is an important facet to the club to link into the community and to serve the wider interest.
Thank you, Chris and Kim, for talking to the Bulletin. And please do keep us updated on all your activities. And we wish you the very best for this the summer season and the rest of the year. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you very much.